homes and property. After gathering their resources, community leaders might then approach the ruler of another city, requesting permission to live within its walls, offering money in return for the privilege. One of the most notable examples of this was in 1492, when Ferdinand and Isabel of Spain issued the Alhambra Decree, which gave the Jews of Aragon and Castile 3 months to convert to Christianity or else depart the kingdom, leaving all their gold and silver behind them. Jews were given similar notice to depart from Portugal not long afterwards. Some Jews fleeing the Iberian Peninsula applied for and were granted permission from Pope Alexander VI to resettle in Rome. But even in Rome, where the Renaissance popes were more inclined than not to be tolerant toward Jews, the safety of the Jewish community that lived there was rarely completely assured. In many European cities, Jews were barred from living or owning property outside the narrowly drawn boundaries that defined the Jewish ghetto. In Frankfurt, Jews were expected to doff their hats to Christians, no matter how poor or lowly in comparison to themselves. The otherness of the Jewish population made them convenient scapegoats whenever their Christian neighbors needed a focus for their fears and anxieties. This was certainly true in Frankfurt, where Jews had been permitted to live since the reign of Charlemagne in the early 900s. The Jews of Frankfurt had been forced into the ghetto, or the Judengasse, after a pogrom in the 13th century that wiped out nearly all 200 members of the Jewish community. The ghetto, a street some 12 feet wide, closed off from the rest of the city by heavy iron gates, was supposed to guard its inmates against further violence. Indeed, a sign over the gate proclaimed the ghetto to be under the emperor's protection. But neither the emperor nor anyone else interfered when a second pogrom broke out during a bout of the Black Death in 1349. Flagellants, a traveling band of pious Christians who believed they could end the plague by publicly atoning for their sins, accused the Jews of Frankfurt of poisoning the city's wells. When this failed to elicit the desired violence from the citizens of Frankfurt, the flagellants began setting fires, and once a few houses were ablaze, they accused the Jews of trying to burn the city down. Of those who survived the pogrom, most fled to Poland, but some remained in Frankfurt. Historian Niall Ferguson describes how a traveler arriving in 18th-century Frankfurt would inevitably encounter something called the Judensau, the Jews' sow. He continues, an obscene graffito on the wall, it depicted a group of Jews abasing themselves before, or rather beneath and behind, a fierce sow, while one of them suckled at her tits, another, in rabbinical garb, held up her tail for the third, also a rabbi, to drink her excrement. The Jews' devil watched approvingly. If the traveler looked up, he could also see a second and still more repellent image, that of a dead baby, its outstretched body punctured by countless small knife wounds, and beneath it 9 daggers. On Maundy Thursday in the year 1475, read a caption, the little child Simeon, age 2, was killed by the Jews, an allusion to the case of Simon of Trent, who had allegedly been a victim of ritual murder, the fictional practice whereby Jews murder Gentile children in order to put their blood in unleavened bread. Ferguson explains later that all of this, the blood libel, the accusations of well poisoning, the idea that Jews debased themselves with pigs, were memes of late medieval European society, so common as to be ubiquitous. What made the Frankfurt pictures remarkable, he explains, at least in the eyes of the city's most celebrated son, Johann Wolfgang Goethe, was that they were not the product of private hostility, but erected as a public monument. The Judensau and the murdered child were officially sanctioned symbols of a long-standing tradition of hostility to an enemy within the free imperial town. By the mid-18th century, some 2,800 Jews were living in the Judengasse, in unbelievably cramped conditions. Among them were Schönche and Amschel Rothschild, whose son, Meyer Amschel Rothschild, was born in 1744. The Rothschilds had been living in Frankfurt since at least the mid-15th century. Though in former centuries Jews did not use European-style surnames, but were known by their patronymic, for example, Amschel, son of Moses, this changed gradually as the record-keeping officials of a city grew tired of making exceptions and insisted that Jews use the same naming convention.